Hey, it's Aiden Mortensen with another Castle Country focused interview. Today, over the phone, we're joined by Ryan Stream, and we're going to be talking about a variety of topics. Because he's a multi-talented person. I mean, you're talking to a musician, a motivational speaker, an author. So we're going to be covering a lot. So Ryan, thank you again for taking the time to come talk with us.
Hey, Aiden, man, thank you so much for having me. This is pretty awesome. We just found out that Aiden, his dad was my teacher in high school. So small communities, everybody's connected. Just another reason to make good choices, something I couldn't figure out when I was younger. So thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, of course. So let's start off kind of just by introducing you. So like we talked about, you're a speaker, an author, a musician. What kind of led you on this path to become these things?
You know, as I look back at pictures of when I was a little kid and even just talking to my choir teacher, David Bird, actually yesterday, man, I sent him a message and I said, hey, I just want to thank you. You know, Jackie Wilson, David Bird, there are individuals in your life and my life that has truly pushed us in a direction that maybe we couldn't see ourselves going. For example, David Bird, every choir concert, man, he would have me perform the piano. He even brought his recording equipment to the junior high school and helped me record my first CD. And, you know, he always just pumped me up and amped me up, man. Those are just two of many, many people. But with that, with Jackie and David, they helped me love the spotlight. And I realized when you do music, you know, music is the universal language, and it has the power to connect with people when words don't. So, man, throughout my whole life, looking at those pictures, man, I always wanted to be a military guy, and I always wanted to be a performer. I definitely was a performer in the classroom as the class clown. I'm sure your dad could fill you in more there. Man, I always wanted to be it, man. I have a picture of when I was probably about 10 years old in a military uniform, and you know, then in the ninth grade, you know, David Bird put me in the spotlight and performing, and that just my whole life, man, it's been great.
And let's talk a little bit about some of the other things that you do. I mean, you have a book called Conquering Your Coliseum, and it's a very inspirational story where you retell some of the key moments from your life. And in your opinion, how does sharing your story like that serve as an inspiration to others who may be going through hard experiences?
You know, what everybody needs to realize is everybody has a story and everybody has experiences that other people could relate to. You know, you don't have to beg for food in a homeless shelter or get adopted or go through foster care to be able to use your story and steps to help other people be resilient. You know, one thing I learned, whether it be in a combat zone getting ambushed or whether it be here at home, is I felt stressed. I feel anxiety. I get mad. I get angry. Those are all emotions we all have. So if somebody just says, man, I'm upset today, but what I've done to not feel upset is I went on a walk last night. You know, and there's always listening ears that are like, what, that's it? All you have to do is go on a walk? Yeah, that is helps relieve stress. There's nothing big that I do that other people can't do. I write music. Everybody has a talent. If people just start using their talent, they're going to realize that other people love that and other people are drawn to that because everybody loves something different. Not everybody likes my music. Not everybody loves my story. There's a handful of people that don't. There's a handful of people that's made fun of me. There's a handful of people that said I can't sing. I never listened to those people. So everyone has a story. They just need to share the story, and they will realize that other people will resonate with their story, and that's how relationships are built. Hey, I got a story too. Hey, that's happened to me. In the book, you just talked about Conquering Your Coliseum. I have another book that says I feel like a giant that my wife and I wrote. Obviously, I'm 5'3.5". I am not even close to a giant, but my heart and my brain, I feel like I'm a giant. Now that I'm excelling in education and finance and spirituality and so many things, because I learned about resilience. I learned about it's our choice to be happy. It's our choice to be rich. It's our choice to be poor. And a lot of times people say, well, that's not true. What do you mean it's not true? We have power over our own emotions. Although people, for example, and I use this example because everyone's like, oh, wow, yeah. You know, if somebody hit you in the face, well, there's some people that will be mad. There's some people that will cry. And there's some people that will take a step back and say, wow, hey, are you okay? We all act and react differently. However you act and react, in the end, those are going to create your habits, and your habits create your character. You know, man, 7 years ago, when I started writing a book, nobody knew that I was getting fired from my job. I was exiting the military for mental health reasons. I was doing things I shouldn't be doing. What took me from literally being homeless and then sleeping in my car at the coal mine to now where we're at with multiple incomes, multiple businesses, I realized it was my choice. It was my choice to share my story. It was my choice to reprogram my brain to think positive.
And it serves as an inspiration in so many ways. And that shows in another one of those streams of income you talked about is you travel around the nation as a motivational speaker. And I guess what's your favorite part of being able to travel and share your story like you do?
You know, I love speaking to people. I love speaking because everyone, man, if somebody has something about themselves and you can share the interest that both of you have, or if you both build a relationship because you've gone through the same experiences, that is so powerful. But I was just in Oregon. I've never been to Oregon. I just did like 6 shows in Oregon. And I went out to the stage, man, and I started rapping my music, and there were students that was rapping my music. That was the first time, you know, miles away from home. I've been to 32 states now. But that was the first time that I actually saw people rapping my own music back to me at a place I've never been to. So my favorite moment, I guess you can say, back to your question, is when you realize through words that you're making an impact. Because to me, you know, they're songs that resonate with me that I write because they make me feel good. And that's when I realize, oh my gosh, words are magic. Literally, in the word spelling, it says spell. So as soon as I realize, oh my gosh, words are like spells, I'm going to cast a positive spell on people, and I'm going to make them think and feel like they can conquer their Colosseum, and I'm going to make them feel and walk and think like they're a giant.
And that's just an incredible part of your motivational speaking career. And I mean, a moment like that, being able to see those students rapping back at you your own music, that must just have been an incredible moment for you. And then, speaking of incredible moments for you recently, you were featured in Forbes magazine. What does it mean to you to be featured in such a prestigious publication?
You know, it's something that I thought was like, oh my gosh, this is the biggest thing ever. I can't wait. One day I could adopt the title Foster Homes to Forbes magazine. And this has been a year coming. They interviewed me a year ago, and before that, I was interviewed, and the article never made it out. So this has been a long time coming, but as soon as they messaged me and said, hey, here it is, man, I started tearing up because it was one of my things that I love to do, and when it happened, man, I celebrated. I danced around for about 10 minutes, and then I realized, like, okay, now what? You know, everybody they ask, and in this interview you haven't asked it, but a lot of people ask, dude, what's it like to be successful? And I say, well, what is success? You know, to me it was getting in Forbes magazine. It was, you know, getting a million views in 1 year, hearing my music in different countries. Like, but now that those things happen, like a student, maybe he puts in for a college and now he goes to the college. Okay, it's like making a shot. After you make the shot, you have to keep shooting. You have to keep making. You have to get on defense and offense. It never ends. So it was such an amazing feeling. And I can't believe how many people in Emory County, Carbon County, Millard County, man, thank you. You're awesome. And I felt so good. So it was such a good moment. But I got to show up again. I got to write music that people can connect to. I got to finish my psychology education and master's degree. I got to equip myself so I can give people the scientifically, the biologically, the answers that can help them change their life, man. Because I want to be a superhero. I always wanted to be a superhero, man, ever since I was a little kid. And I realized through words, you could help other people. And Forbes magazine, man, that was just credentials. You know, people are competitive. It's in our nature. That's psychology, man. People are so competitive, right? People want you to do good, but sadly, they don't want you to do better than them. That Forbes magazine, that was just credentials. It was just to show people, like, hey, you know, maybe I was a drug addict when I was right out of high school. You know, maybe I talked my butt off in your dad's class. Hopefully, he loves me. Maybe he don't like me. You know, I talked a lot, man. I disrespected so many people. So this is just a way to raise my hand and say, hey, I was the kid, man. I didn't give the teachers respect. Like, I'm taking accountability. That was me. But when you listen to the teachers, your parents, and the educators, they know more than us. That's why Forbes magazine was so important to me, because now that I've been in Forbes magazine, now that I have these credentials, the kids will listen to me. Because nowadays, people want instant gratification, right? For some reason, if you don't have the nice car or the big house, they still listen to you, but when the guy pulls up with or the girl pulls up in those things, they don't even have to introduce themselves. Those are what people are looking at. So that's what the Forbes is. The Forbes, to me, is just, it's the vehicle. It's the nice car. Now that it's got it, got me some attention, hey, let me tell you what I've learned, you know, through your dad, through my parents, through educators that I should have picked up on when I was your age. Now I have a listening ear. Let me help you teach what I've been taught.
And it's like that old Kobe Bryant quote where he's talking about, why aren't you smiling? You just advanced to the NBA Finals. And he says, job's not finished. And that's like you said, kind of like life. The job isn't finished. You need to take a second to celebrate, but then it's important to move on to the next. And while you were talking there, you mentioned your experience with drug addiction. What suggestions might you give to people who might be struggling with something like addiction?
You know, I can answer that question with two parts. Going back to Kobe Bryant, I just shared the stage with Tim Grover, Les Brown, Marcus Luttrell, and something I learned from Tim Grover, drug addicts, everybody can learn from this part. Kobe Bryant already knew how to be resilient. He already knew how to shoot a free throw. He already knew how to win the NBA Finals, but he constantly called Tim Grover and asked him for help. It's with drug addictions. It's with getting jobs. It's with anything. We all need somebody. Everybody always needs somebody to believe in them. Rick Rasmussen from Cleveland, Utah, he was the man that believed in me when I was a drug addict. Sure, I had my parents. I had the military that, man, I'll tell you what, they gave me more chances than I deserved. But Rick was there, man. And he taught me, all you have to have is somebody to believe in you. Somebody to say, hey, man, get back up. Come on, dude, you can do that. And he gave me $100. I was sleeping in my car. I was homeless. And people say, well, why didn't your parents give you money? My parents gave me food. But I was making such bad choices, I didn't even want to go home for months at a time because, man, I didn't want to look at my parents. They already knew I was addicted to drugs and making silly choices. But Rick Rasmussen, he met me at a Mexican restaurant, and he gave me $100. And, man, at first when he took the money out of his pocket, I was like, Rick, I can't do it. I can't do it. But he said, Ryan, make me a promise. One day you pay me back. One day you give me my $100 back. I remember getting in the car, and I remember crying, dude, how am I going to do this? About 2 years later, I just got back from war, man. My life changed because I decided to make the choice to change. I pulled up to Rick's house, and I gave him $100. We were both in tears, right, because I paid him back. It wasn't about the $100. It was about I had somebody believing in me, truly believing in me, other than my parents. Somebody that said, Ryan, you could do it. Get up. So I think with drugs, first people need to realize, dude, you can change. You can't, it's you. It's your choice. And when people say, man, I can't do it, dude, I did it. You're lying to yourself. You're never going to change because whenever you tell yourself something, people that are depressed, right? They say, man, I'm really depressed. Don't say that, dude. Even if you're depressed, say, I'm not depressed, man. I'm feeling good. People are always saying, dude, you're too happy. I'm not happy all the time. Happy is an emotion, and we have different emotions, right? God gave us all emotions as a gift. But I just realized if my brain is like a computer, and if I say, man, I'm depressed, bam, I just planted the seed of depression. Hey, man, I'm a drug addict. I can't quit. I'm constantly watering that seed. So when I stopped doing drugs, it wasn't right away. It was, okay, I'm not going to get high until next Friday. And then I went 1 week. Man, I'm not going to get high for 2 weeks. And then I went 2 weeks. You see, if some people have a huge goal, it's hard for them to obtain the goal because the goal's so big. And we know from psychology, people like it now, gratification now, right? But if they measure their steps, it's like a goal. If you have a small goal, if you go a week without drugs, celebrate, man. I'm not saying go do drugs the next Friday, but if you didn't do them all week, hey, if you feel like you need to celebrate, celebrate, and then go 2 weeks and then celebrate, and then 3 weeks and celebrate, and then you just give yourself a pat on the back. That's how I quit, man. That's how I did it. I'm not promoting drugs every week, every 3 weeks, but hey, it works for me, and I know it could work for other people. And I've talked to hundreds of thousands of people across the United States, and I've had hundreds of them message me and say, hey, man, I did what you did. Thank you for your help. So whether it be psychology, biologically, that's just Ryan's stream right there. That's what I did, and it works for me.
And it's an incredible story, having read about it and been able to hear you speak before. It's something that every time I hear it, it puts a smile on my face, knowing that you're out there spreading information that could really help change someone's life. And then on top of everything that you're already doing, you're a musician. And what kind of messages do you try and spread through your music?
You know, I've realized through my life, I didn't like to listen. I didn't, man. If it wasn't interesting to me, I didn't want to listen. In the classrooms, before I go into some of these schools, they say, hey, you know, we've had other, you know, speakers come, and the students, they just, you know, they sometimes the students just don't want to listen. And I always giggle, man, because I'm coming out rapping. I come out, all the lights are off, I come out rapping. And then as soon as the song's over, before the beat stops, I start playing the piano blindfolded, and then I roll over on my back without stopping, because I realize music is the universal language. It doesn't matter if I was in Afghanistan, Kuwait, Ireland, Germany. Everybody listens to music. When we were little kids, we didn't understand the words, man, but a little baby waddles back and forth because it's the melody, it's the frequency, and it's the sound inside of the music. So if I use frequencies that help bring positivity and make your spirit sing, dude, you could have a frown on your face, but as soon as the music starts, there's something about your body that just wants to sing, man, because the vibrations and the frequencies that are singing without even me speaking the words or singing the words. I just capitalized on how music made me feel, and I use that in my music. And I know kids don't listen as much as they should, I know from experience, and they don't like to read. Literally, man, people don't like to read. It's the truth. That's why podcasts are so big, because, well, I don't want to have to read this book. I can just listen to a podcast. If you go back and you listen to my music, if you listen to all 20 music videos that I have, what I put in those songs were from books. The year I was going to take my life, I was in a car with a plan to take my life, man. I had a plan. I went to suicide prevention courses. I picked up a book, How to Be a Millionaire. I picked up another book, Think and Grow Rich. And then I started going to counseling. In my books, I've just taken what authors have said that has resonated with me, and I put them into my songs. And if they resonated with me and helped me change my life, I know it will help other people.
And that's just an incredible part of your music, being able to spread those messages like that in a very creative and fun way. Now, Ryan, unfortunately, we are running out of time, but is there anything you'd like to leave the listeners with?
Yes. Here is something that I say every day. I'm the best. Nobody's better than me. I will succeed, and I will be the best version of myself. Does that mean I'm the best? Does that mean I sing the best or I could write the best books? No. But if I wake up every single day and I tell myself, okay, buddy, we're going to kick butt today. And dude, you just heard before the interview, like, we both know, I don't need to say on the air, one of my businesses, I got my butt kicked. You could agree, right? I took a huge punch in the gut, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But what did I say? Hey, man, we're going to figure it out. You see, when it's time to cry, go ahead and cry. Just don't cry too long. Remember that you have emotions for a reason. But when you cry, stand up, man. You already got through the hardest part of your life. In closing, be your own hero. Everybody's looking for somebody to save them. Whatever you think about, whatever you speak about, you will become. I just started to talk and think and trick myself into being a hero. And now, because God blessed me with the gift, or Allah, or the universe, whatever you believe in, because we live in the United States, we all could believe in something different, I started to listen to educators, my teachers, my leaders, my principals, my parents, the bishop, the priest. And I started learning from every single person, and I realized every single person has something valuable. If you listen and learn from everybody, that's how you get valuable, and that's how you become a hero.
Well, Ryan, thank you so much for taking your time out of your day to come talk with us. We really appreciate it. Again, that was Ryan Stream, musician, motivational speaker, author. And for more Castle Country Focus interviews like this one, you can stay tuned to KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, or you can listen on the Castle Country Radio app. And for the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Aiden Mortensen.